Hello and welcome to Elim Church, Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, for today's podcast.
Yeah, good morning wherever you are today. We thank you so much for joining us as we gather with Sandra for the Persecuted Church. The podcast this morning comes out every week. We thank God to all the listeners wherever you may be. We're just going to go back. We're going to have a recap with the prisoners of faith. We're going to go into China and Pakistan, Iran, and remembering the Indian campaign that's been going on and everything that's going along with that. And also we're going to be looking at refugees as well, which will be a very interesting subject. So we thank you for joining us wherever you are today across the world. We thank you so much for sharing these podcasts. May God bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. Sandra, we thank you for coming in today for the summer holidays. You're on a bit of a rest as the schools are closed. We thank you very, very deeply. We thank you very deeply from the very bottom of our heart, coming and joining us today and sharing everything, Sandra, where God is leading you. And we really bless your life in the name of Jesus. And good morning, Sandra. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right, thank you.
You're good?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But busy. Yeah, we are quite busy. So I'm glad to have time to do things.
Yes. That's so good. Bit of rest time for you, a bit of downtime.
Yes. Starting to be able to rest. It takes a bit of time because you've been so busy and you know, with the teaching and everything, you know, and you suddenly stop and you feel really tired. I've felt quite fatigued.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting past that and starting to enjoy
excellent
my time.
Grab your breath.
Yeah.
Grab your breath. Have some rest. Well, Sandra, here we go. Last week we was, and the week before as well, I believe, wasn't we? Time escaped us and it went so quickly. We've been looking at prisoners of faith. So can we hand over to you this morning, and as you take us a bit further and just tidy up and clean up and go backwards and forwards and just see where the Lord is going to lead us this morning. But we just want to say once again, thank you to all the listeners around the world for downloading and sharing these podcasts and everything that's coming from this. It's really important to the sisters and brothers that we're speaking about, that their story gets out and the information gets out, and it will change. God is moving. God is setting the captives free. You know, who the sun sets free is free indeed. So Sandra, let's go. Without any further ado, Sandra is going to take us into what she has for us this morning.
Yes, that's so true, that God is setting the captives free, and we're going to see that in what I'm saying. I know that we were talking about prisoners, but also with the refugees, he's been setting people free as well. And there's some very exciting stories coming out of some very difficult, harrowing situations.
Amen.
But, you know, God is amazing, and he is really at work. And every time I read things, I think, wow, how big our God is. And it really encourages me when I
Amen.
Feel tired and things are
exhausted.
You know, and I know, and I do pray for all those who are listening, that it lifts you up and it really does encourage you. And I know God wants you to know these things to encourage you, to empower you in your prayers. And we do. We are so grateful that God has given us this opportunity to share these things with you. And thank you for passing them on too.
Amen.
And so, prisoners of faith. Well, we looked at China. We know there's many there. And we know that, you know, God is at work there, even though the authorities try and shut things down, that we find out things and that they have opportunities to share their faith, even in very difficult situations, and that our prayers matter to them. And in Pakistan, we are seeing glimmers of hope, as I said, with things to prevent the blasphemy law being misused. Pray that that will really take effect, that it will really be seen to be working and preventing people from being falsely accused. And so we pray for that. And we looked at that. And in Iran, and we are going to look at Iran about, we looked at the prisoners and the situation there and how many, if they are coming from the Muslim background and then come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, how they end up in prison and the effect of that, and just how they want to quash the gospel and prevent them from really taking it on. But even in that, you know, God is at work, and we know that, you know, there are many who are hearing the gospel in prison, but I'm also going to talk about what happens after prison. Maybe sometimes they do have to flee and become refugees. So we'll be looking at that as well. And reminder that the Indian campaign is on with Open Doors. It's been all this month. And one of the things they've been asking, if you do go on their website, is there is a video of people being Christians being attacked by some Muslim extremists. And they would like you to send this video to the Minister for Asia. And apparently 2,000 people so far have sent this video to the Minister for Asia. You can pass it to other people as well, but particularly they want this video and the information to be sent to the Minister for Asia in the government, in our government, so that it will go up higher the agenda. And as they say, pictures speak louder than words, and it is shocking to see. You know, if you see this video, what they are doing to innocent people just standing by, Christians just talking, and suddenly they attack them.
Yeah, and whereabouts is this video on the social networks?
It's just available, go on to Open Doors.
So we go on to Open Doors.
Yeah. And if you become, like, you know, like I subscribe. Not subscribe. Well, you know what I mean. I say I want to have information. So if you give them your email and you say you want to have information about this particular campaign, then they will send you the video, and then you can send it.
I got you. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah. But there's other information there as well. And I looked yesterday, and they've got a whole part where all the prayers for every day of the month. So that's really good to look at, because it's very targeted, very strategic. So you can really see what's going on in India, what the real needs are of our brothers and sisters, including what's happening through the pandemic as well. So that is a very good resource. And I was looking at that
brilliant.
Yesterday. Yeah. So now, refugees. Well, we'll look at some things that we really need to pray about and remember. And then I want to tell you some stories of what's been going on since 2019 with the refugees and the refugee camps up to date. So how things started and then how they are today. So first, we're going to go to the Ethiopia situation, just update you on that. With Tigray, we were talking about how there were Christians who had fled from Eritrea because of persecution, and they were in Tigray, and how there's been this fighting going on. Well, apparently there is still sporadic fighting going on, and there are severe food shortages, and some services such as banking, transport, communication have not fully resumed. And that was a report in January 2021, and the situation is continuing. And there are two refugee camps in Tigray in the region of North Ethiopia, and they've both been attacked in the conflict, and some refugees have been forcibly repatriated with Eritrea. And that's very sad to hear that they went, you know, to find shelter and to find safety, And now they've been attacked and they've been forced back to Eritrea. So we do really pray for that whole situation. And as we know, some of them did get to the capital of Ethiopia and found safety, but many didn't. And something that I've read recently and heard recently, it's a worrying development, is that we heard the good news that prisoners had been released from the Eritrean prisons. Prisoners of faith had been released, men and women. But it is now coming to light that some of these are being used in the army for this conflict. They are now transcripting some of them. Some of the refugees.
Yeah.
Some of those who they've released from prison.
Okay.
It's still they're still wanting to get more evidence. But it was Release International on UCB was saying that they hoped that it wasn't a ploy that they were releasing these people from prison because they needed more in the army. Because they have found that some are. So it's something that needs to be looked into.
And what nation is this, Sandra?
Well, this is Eritrea.
So this is an Eritrea.
So Eritrea,
yeah.
People flee to Ethiopia, there's this conflict, Tigray. Some of it is over, but there's still sporadic fighting. But it's come to light that there may be the reason, because we've been all saying, praise God, that lots of people have been released from prison in Eritrea. But now they're wondering, the Christian community are wondering, is this real? Is it actually that they want them out of prison so that they can reuse them and put them into service in the army? Because recently there have been some arrests of army.
I got you.
Because they won't do what they've been asked to do because they're people of faith.
Right, with
you. And so now they're wondering if there's some connection.
Oh, dear. I got you. I see what you're saying. Yeah, very tricky.
So very sinister. So they've like gone from the frying pan into the fire, but God knows. And you know that he, through these guys, is giving compassion.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously then, if they won't do what they're supposed to do, then they're being... then others are being sent back to prison. So it's a very unsure situation, but there's something going on.
Goodness gracious, Sandra.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's quite sinister, isn't it?
Yeah.
In prison, you know, behind bars, actually, what we'll do, it will look good that we've released them.
Yeah.
But actually, we've put them into the army.
Yeah.
So they become... oh, goodness, don't bear thinking about it, does it really?
No.
You got to say that's very sinister and quite a brutal thing to do. And,
so they are out for a little while and then they sort of pick them up again and say, well, you're of that, you know, you've got to go in. But obviously some of these people are older, so, you know, but there's something to do with the camps as well, you know, picking up Christians from there.
So they're using the prisoners for their own gain.
Yes, yes.
As always. As always, somewhere along the line, it's always for their own gain.
Yeah, it makes me sorry. It makes me very shivery.
So, well, praise be to God.
So I just...
There's an area for prayer. You know, all you guys and girls listening out there, you know, when we think about this, what a time to push into prayer when we hear these stories. We just pray about them. We just lift them up before the Lord. We bring it all before the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we never give up. The information... We give out through this can be very heavy and very hard hitting, but it's fact, it's true, it's open information for everybody, and this is very important for Christianity, I believe, within the West, to understand what's happening to our sisters and brothers, and for us to prepare for persecution, us to prepare. God, will you strengthen us for what's coming across the shores of the UK, that you'll strengthen us there. So this is really important because they are in the front line, and we need to lift our Christian brothers and sisters up across the world and bring them to the Lord, because who the Son sets free is free indeed.
And also, you know, what has been done in darkness, when it comes out into the light, it can be dealt with.
It can be dealt with.
So, as I say, this is still being investigated, but it is, they're saying it's a worrying development if it is so.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing is Myanmar, and CSW are particularly looking at this, and many people have had to flee into the jungle, and others are refugees in Bangladesh. And as you know, they're not, the Bangladesh people aren't very happy about that. They don't really want them there. I mean, yes, we know that some of them are Muslim, but there are Christians as well. And so there's persecution going on there. But again, God is looking after his people, and we just pray that those who are wanting to get to them for good, to support them, will get there. And also Barnabas, I read an article there, and there was a Christian worker who had reached these people in the jungle, and he was reading the Bible to them.
Really?
And they managed to have, I also was watching something in a remote part of Myanmar, which touched my heart, was a children's camp. They'd managed to have this children's camp before things have, you know, gone further. So I'm not sure when that was, but there was a children's camp and they were all praising God. So again, you know, there are pockets. Yes, there are, it's terrible what the army are doing. They're trying to crush any resistance. It's awful. But again, you know, God is providing sustenance, and we need to pray that those that can, you know, get to these people will, and they will bring what the Christians need, and that they will strengthen our brothers and sisters. And again, you know, behind the scenes, we know that there are Christians involved in trying to bring about some stability in the country, and we pray for that as well. So that's some of the ongoing stories that, you know, I wanted to bring to your attention.
Really interesting stuff. Sandra's got a lot of information in front of us today, and we're all ears. We're all ears as we listen, as we take in what Sandra has for us. And we thank God for this information that's out there. This is free information. You'll find it on Release International. You'll find it on Open Doors. You will find it CSW. I'm not too sure about that site myself. I can't really comment too much. And you will hear this across the different platforms that support prisoners of faith and the persecuted Christian. I don't suppose you can really, there's not really, you can title it as a prisoner of faith or a refugee or someone that's being persecuted. It's a bit of a muchness, isn't it, really, when you bring it all together.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it's the world of the persecuted church and the suffering church, but running alongside of that, prisoners of faith, and because obviously they get put in prison and everything that goes along with it. Refugees, when they get taken out of the prison, that they're pushed off, so they lose everything. So it all goes together, doesn't it? It's quite a fine line that you can't really separate too much between the distinction between a prisoner of faith, a refugee, and a persecuted Christian. They all seem to blend together, them three, don't they? They seem to move together. It impacts on them.
Yeah. Well, you've got conflict against particularly Christians, as in Syria and Iraq, where they had to flee for their lives because of ISIS and have become refugees and are still refugees, or they are displaced people. You've got people who end up in prison, but then are harassed and their families are threatened. And so they end up having to flee the country. Such as in Iran, and again, where else do we say?
Tigray?
Iraq. Yeah, and, well, yes.
All areas.
Also, from Eritrea as well. And you do get people who try and make their way here.
Yeah,
and,
we do, don't
we? We're going to have a little think about that at the end in our prayers.
Okay.
So
it's happening.
Yes.
It's very, very real.
It's
something that
we need to pray about our government and how they are, you know, whether, you know, now we are not within the EU and the way they do things, and how they're thinking about asylum seekers and about immigration, that it is fair. And those people who do need shelter and help will
get that.
Get that. And that's so important. And it's a very difficult thing, I know. And it's terrible when we see those people being manipulated into, you know, people giving them hope that if they...
False hope.
Yes, they get on a boat and, you know, paying these people money. And then, you know, so many of them...
Don't make it.
Terrible situation.
It's a terrible situation, and we need to pray for that. And as we will at the end of this podcast that we're doing, and we just press on. So refugees, you've got prisoners of faith, So displaced Christians, it all runs very, very close together. And obviously it starts off with persecution, and then when persecution comes in, then you get the imprisonment, and then from the imprisonment, if and when they get released, they can become a refugee. And then obviously running along very close with that, you've got the displacement. So it's a big hit for them, isn't it? I can't imagine what it's like to be a prisoner of faith, to be tormented, to be starved, to be pushed in a corner, to be beaten, to be whipped, to have your life threatened, to even have your life taken away, to have your family taken away, all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about, all for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And it's amazing some of the responses that are coming back, like Andrew Boyd from Release International. You know, he's talking, been to camps now in Syria and Iraq, and he was speaking to somebody on Transworld Radio, and he was saying that people who are now refugees won't be the same going back to Syria or Iraq, because they have been through appalling things. They've lost relatives, their homes, their possessions, and trust in their society and culture.
Okay, so this is Andrew Boyd from Release International speaking to Transworld Radio.
Yes.
Okay, I wonder if we can pick that interview up somewhere. I would imagine that you can pick that up, maybe.
Yeah.
Back listen to that. Probably pretty interesting to listen to. So that's Andrew Boyd of Release International speaking on Transworld Radio.
Yeah. I found this on their site because I put in refugees or Christians of Flight, because that's their little campaign, Christians in Flight. And that's where I found this information.
Okay.
So the radio MP3 is on the Release International site.
Okay. So the MP3 is there. We can listen to that.
Yeah.
Excellent. We'll find that. So there's a bit of information. You know, it's really, really good. What these sites out there, you know, Release International, Open Doors, and that great ministry that Sandra has just mentioned a couple of times, Transworld Radio and Barnabas and Fund, and everything that pushes and steers us towards the refugee, the persecuted Christian. We need to support them in prayer, and there are ways that there are ways that we can support them. So we would advise, not just me but Sandra as well, we would advise you to go to the sites. God will draw you to the right one to go to, and have a real good read. Ransack that site, because it's full of information. It's full of information, and it's well updated. It's always updated. It's very live. It's very fluid. It runs very smooth. So any of them sites, you will get all this as well. You know, hope will come through. You know, hope will reveal itself. Hope will come through. So we never give up. Okay, Sandra, thank you for that.
So they're going to be different people if they go back, but many won't go back, he was saying, and they don't want to go back. And they're too fearful to go back. They don't know what they're going back to. And so you're talking about Lebanon. So many Syrians have ended up in Lebanon.
Okay.
And they want to start a new life. Now, apparently, the population of Lebanon is 6 million.
Wow.
And
is that old?
Yes. Guess how much of the population is now refugees?
A quarter.
1/6 of the population are refugees. 1 million.
1 million?
There are 1 million refugees there now. And
that's Libyan. The Libyans.
Lebanon.
Yeah.
And he was saying, just to give you an idea of how many this is, he said that is the population of Birmingham, London, Manchester and Portsmouth put together.
So it's a 6 million population.
Yes, 6 million population. And 1/6 of that is now refugees.
That is mind-blowing.
And he was saying that it's very awkward because the Syrians have all been in conflict with Lebanon for many years. And so to now have these Syrians coming over for help is, you know, very awkward. And many of them are being shunned. However, the churches are supporting them.
Excellent.
And people are living under trees or outbuildings.
Really?
And they are, They're resented by the general population. Many refugees have had to, and have just, you know, they've been refugees more than once. So they've had to flee twice. And so that's another thing that, you know, they settle and then trouble occurs, like we've heard, you know, with Kurdistan. So they've had to run for their lives again. But at the moment, things are pretty settled, in a very difficult, you know, very basic living conditions. But the church are doing as much as they can do. And amazing things are coming to the ears of pastors and to also Release International. And he said, what's amazing is it's becoming commonplace. Many refugees have had an encounter with Christ on their journey. These are people now who had no Christian background. So now they are refugees and Christians.
Wow.
Before they came, they weren't.
Okay.
So you had Christian refugees.
Yeah.
You had Christians who fled.
Yes.
And you had ordinary people who fled the fighting because they saw their loved ones being killed.
Sure.
And they ran for their lives. Okay. They didn't agree with ISIS or, you know, and they were just ordinary people and they just ran for their lives. Women, children, not many men, but yeah, some families did get out completely, but many were killed. So they got no Christian background, and he's saying hundreds, possibly thousands, are saying they've had dreams and visions on the road from Syria.
Wow.
Yes, and I've got transcripts of this.
Wow, that's
yes.
That's really interesting. That's so biblical.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
We've got,
such
I've got
a biblical
quite a few here.
Tie. Of course it is, you know.
So, but it is, isn't it? Because you think,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't suppose it matters that much where it is, but when I was reading, I was thinking, well, Lord, you met Saul on the road to Damascus the other way, so you can do it.
You can bring it back the other way.
People fleeing.
No, that's
and,
true.
So this is from that transcript, and then I've got a few more words.
Okay, so
right, so one woman desperately escaping with her children, she told a pastor, all of a sudden I saw a Christ ahead of me on the cross. She didn't know at the time it was Christ. She's been told since then that's what it was. So she said, I saw ahead on the cross and I was so happy. Andrew Boyd from Release International said he'd spoken to a lady, call her Sarah, who was escaping with her five children. She had lost her husband in the fighting and she had a dream. I dreamed a very long, dark road. And she said that she thought it was an angel who extended her hand and said, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. I woke up shivering and was crying so hard. She went to a church to get help and she saw a cross and people told her, this is Christ. Jesus has revealed himself to you, they said. Now, updating it, right? So that was a while ago.
Yeah,
now there's another story about her here. And it says, God is revealing himself to refugees in amazing ways, says Release partner in Lebanon, Pastor Timothy. Many hundreds say Christ is revealing himself in dreams, even on the road from Syria. One woman was desperately escaping with her children and said, all of a sudden, I saw Christ ahead of me on the cross. Now, I'm doing this to confirm that this is in two places. This is the same story, but he's got more information about it. And I was so happy. I was full of joy and peace. Now she walks for an hour every Sunday to get to church.
Wow. Wow, so Christ is revealing himself to people on the road.
Yeah,
Damascus,
so you see, I found this information. And I only had that little bit. And then, as I say, I've looked elsewhere and now I've found the same story. Now, this is the actual pastor talking as opposed to this just being secondhand. This is firsthand.
This is firsthand.
Right, and saying that she walks to get to church an hour every Sunday. And then this other lady, Sarah, who is from a Sunni Muslim background, had to flee Syria with her five children when her husband was killed in fighting. I dreamt about a very long, dark road. And at the end of this road, I saw an angel. He extended his hand to me and said, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." I woke up shivering. I was crying so hard. When I started telling people at the church about this vision, all of them told me, "This is from Christ. The Lord is with you."
Amen. It certainly
is. Now for her, Sarah's relatives persecuted her. Right, so she's come as a refugee with her relatives, and they're persecuting her for her faith in Jesus, and she's had to escape again.
Goodness, wow.
But even now, she says, when I remember the story, I remember the Lord is with me. I believe this truly.
I believe. What a beautiful scripture that is. I believe.
Yeah.
So there we have. We have a few accounts there very clearly of Christ revealing himself to people on the road. You could call it a Damascus road experience. We know that God called out and said, Saul, why you persecute me? But this is the reverse. And what we mean is these are people, prisoners of faith, looking to get away, whether they're persecuted or whatever it, or however it is, a non-Christian. So we're hearing different stories as well of Christ revealing himself to people that have never even heard of Jesus. But Christ is revealing himself, whether they are a Christian, a believer, a non-believer, a refugee, or not a refugee, someone from a different faith, a different faith background. Christ is revealing himself to them on this road experience.
Yeah, and he's then encouraging them. So at this point of need and desperation,
whether they are a Christian, a non-Christian, whether they've been a refugee or not, God is speaking across the platform of humanity.
And those are the prayers that have gone up.
That's right.
Those are the prayers for the neighbours. Mm-hmm. You know, the Christians who were there, you know, us and them, when I think about it, they were all neighbours, and they've all ended up running together, and they've been praying for their neighbours to come to Christ.
Wow.
They've been praying for their neighbours to come to Christ. And within this chaos and within this crisis, God has answered those prayers.
God makes a
and
way.
And not only that, but he is giving them sustenance to carry on. Like this lady, she says, because she had this encounter, she can continue despite the persecution.
Yeah, despite
so
the pressure.
These people who have come out from other faiths and now encouraging the Christians and encouraging others.
Praise God.
Because they've had these visions, they've had these dreams that are just so real and help them. It is the manna from heaven that's continuing. But obviously, again, they need our encouragement. They continue to need our prayers, and they will go and tell others because of the reality in their lives from such trauma. And here again, this is in Iraq. I'm going to read you about this worker in Iraq and what's happening in Iraq.
Just before Sandra launches into another reading, we've got about 15 minutes, but this is the very scriptural, because I think I'm also being led by my spirit into the text where Christ meets the two walking on the Emmaus road.
Yes.
And it says their hearts were beating fast.
They did not recognize him.
They was kept from Christ being revealed to them for a set time. But it says their hearts were burning. And that's what we see through these testimonies, these great stories of the refugee, whether you're a believer, non-believer, however they are as a human being, Christ is revealing himself to people in a very distinct way at the moment. And this is on the road.
Yes.
It is a journey.
And it's such a testimony, because just like at the time when you know, Jesus rose again and many were testifying that he was real.
He has risen.
We have just seen
the Lord.
You know, these are being written down, that these people, what they are saying.
It's backed up.
And you can't say that all these people are crazy.
No, and it says in the scripture that Christ revealed himself to 500 and more at the same time. So we're not going into theological debate on that, but you can get that. So This is happening now.
Yeah, these are the signs and
wonders. These are the signs and the wonders through the power of prayer. So we always speak how powerful prayer is. You know we do, listeners, and we appreciate your prayers. But this is just, this is giving us reinforcement to say, come on, let's pray again. Let's keep praying. Even though we can't be with these prisoners of faith, even though we can't be with the refugees, even though we might never see their face until we get to glory, what is really interesting is the power of prayer is changing people's lives. God is a God of who's opening doors, literally opening doors, and he's revealing himself and where to they people can't, on that road.
But the thing is, where they can't have a Bible, where they've only had the Quran,
they are seeing the living word.
Yes, they are seeing it.
They are seeing the word.
This is the cross. Yeah. This happened, and this, you know, I'm here.
So this is really interesting, you know? Because where we have the authorities snatching the Bibles and maybe their devices where the electronic word is given, no one can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So you can imagine on this road, they've got maybe no mobile phone. They can't get it electronically. There's no way of getting a Bible. So what does God do? He reveals the living word.
Yeah.
He is the living word.
I am the way. That's right.
I am the truth. And the life.
You know,
no one comes to the Father except through me. So this is an Emmaus Road experience. This is a Saul experience with a bit of a reverse spin on that. But God, Christ, the Holy Spirit is using their walking journey to reveal himself to them. And that is the same for us today.
Yes.
As we journey, God reveals himself.
And it's those key words, isn't it? Do not be afraid, I am with you.
And he says that to the disciples.
Do not be afraid, I am with you.
The scripture says, is it a ghost? He says, do not be afraid, it is I.
Yeah.
It is I, do not be afraid,
yeah.
I am with you.
Yeah.
So here we have the living word, the living Christ revealing himself through visions and dreams and right before the persecuted church, before their very eyes, when they've got no Bibles, they've got no way of hearing it, they've got no way of seeing it within their physicality, but God is revealing the word.
Mm.
And there's a download of, that is the Christ.
Mm.
And look at them two on the Emmaus Road. Their hearts were burning.
Yeah.
Their hearts were beating so
what
fast.
What a witness.
Christ is revealing himself. We are in the last days.
In this one, again, it's Release International, but they're now looking at Iraq and the partners in Kurdistan in the north of Iraq. And Jamal Idiwali, Liddawi, believes God is at work in the middle of the crisis, as he explains to Andrew Boyd. Jamal says, they suffer, they run, they have nowhere to go. The only place to go is to God. We see many people come to Christ because this is the only solution for them. We see how many people really become open to hear the gospel, who become open to get in touch with God. We find it much easier for people who are under persecution to give their life to Jesus. We don't pray for persecution, but this is how the Lord works it out.
Wow.
We have a lot of stories, testimonies of people who came to Christ just by dreams and visions, by walking in the night. Yes, it is true. I remember this lady. She came to live in the neighbourhood country near Iraq, Kurdistan. She had a dream, and the dream she told, her, you need to go to the city, which is in Erbil, and you need to go to this street and this house. And if you go there and you knock on the door, you will find someone who will tell you something about me.
Goodness gracious.
She drove and she came from the neighbouring country to Kurdistan, to the city of Erbil. She went to the street. She believed, you know, that God told her that dream. And she knocked on the door. And guess what? You know, it was the house belonging to church planters where the people were worshipping the Lord. She knocked on the door and the lady opened it. Yes, we are Christians. And from there, she gave her life to Jesus. and she shared her story with the people in Kurdistan.
Oh, wow. That's a very, very emotional story. Given clear instruction where to go, what time, very specific, very on point, and her destination was safety. Oh, my Lord.
And wow. More than that, more than a home on this earth, an eternal home.
An eternal place of rest.
And apparently this group have been helping refugees since 2003.
Given clear instruction where to go.
And it, again, it shows for our brothers and sisters about that. You know what God says about working faithfully for the Lord and just continuing and not concerning and how he will work it. And they just did it and did it. And they didn't see any, anything coming of it. But now he says that we started helping refugees in schools. We provided food and all that stuff. The government, they noticed what we were doing and they started wanting to know about more and what we were doing. And they were really impressed because we, a small mission, we were doing so much. And so they started to give us more and more open doors for us to reach refugees. And now we've got permission from them to distribute food, to enter camps, even to give the distribution of the Christian books in every camp and everywhere we go. And even they gave us a thank you letter from the government saying thank you for what you are doing. And they were even put about our mission in the newspaper as well and what we're doing. And the governments are noticing our good works and they're doing things to help us get permission. And we thank God for this, that we can share the gospel. Mm.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Absolutely.
Have you got time for these last two stories?
We hold on. Are they long stories?
No, it was just sort of continuing about these refugees now.
Read them through.
That... have gone to these places who felt desolate, who felt isolated. As we said, they've had to flee from Iran. They've come to faith and then they've been relentlessly persecuted. And many have fled to Turkey, but they felt isolated. And so God has made a way now through Open Doors, the work that they did in Syria, you know, these centres of hope. Well, they're now going to extend them into Turkey. And this summer, as a community centre for these Iranian refugees is going to be opened, not just for the Iranian refugees, but for all of them. And this particular guy who, as I say, I look at this DVD, and it's his story, and it's...
let's have it, Sandra, come on.
Kourosh, K-O-U-R-O-U-S-H. And he had to flee, and he said, Lord, you've brought me to this place. You must have brought me for a reason. I can't see that reason yet, but he is going to lead this, and he is so happy about it. And they're encouraging us to get involved in encouraging him. Let Kourosh know that you're praying for him by joining in our letter writing campaign. And you can find more about that on opendoors.uk.org/act/letter. And then the next one was about Lebanon and Pastor Nihad and how many people have come to his church. And some of them are Christians, Kurdish Christians, and that they want to do things and how they are looking to help those who've been caught up in that explosion. You know, the explosion
that happened
in Beirut.
Oh, dear.
And they've been going and they've been helping there. Mm. And people have said, why are you coming? Why are you helping us?
Why?
Because, again, they're enemies, as far as they see. And they say, because of the love of Jesus.
There you go.
And they're being able to share the gospel. And so these people who have nothing are now giving what they have. And it is so beautiful. And as I wanted to finish with Matthew, that was what I was praying. And saying, Lord, you know, what scripture goes with this? And I felt this was the one, particularly thinking of this church who feel that, and that group in Iraq who felt they had little, but It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my father.'" Because remember that they are being harassed and persecuted for doing what they're doing. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." And that's what this church and these people are doing, these Christians. "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it for me.'"
There we go.
"And I pray, Lord, I thank you for those who are doing that. And I pray that you will strengthen their hands and their feet.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
And they will have the resources they need, that they desire to do that, to be your hands and feet, to clothe those who need to be clothed, to love those who need that love, to give food to those who need, particularly with these people who've been caught up in the bomb attack that happened, and sorry, the explosion, and also those with the COVID as well, and all these things. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters, despite their being persecuted, that they are being salt and light, and they are giving of themselves, Lord, and that, yes, that they are looking to eternal, the joy of eternity, and that others will be with them in eternity because of these small things that they do. And they know that they are doing it for you, as you say in your word here, that what they do for these refugees who are seen as the lowest of the low, that they are doing it for you. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that we've been able to share these wonderful stories of what you are doing. So many miracles, so many wonderful things. And that it encourages to not give up and to keep on praying and to see everything that we can do as we have time to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yeah, Sandra, thank you so much for sharing your heart and what God has placed on your heart this morning. And we thank you to all the listeners around the world for sharing this podcast. You've been listening to Sandra Robson. You've been listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, as we've just opened so much up this morning. And there is so much to pray for in the world of the persecuted church, the refugee, those that are being slain for Christ, prisoners of faith, so much information. You will find that on Transworld Radio. You will hear about it on that platform. You will get it through Release International. You will get it through Open Doors and other places on the internet. Thank you so much. If you need any more information, you know where to find us. And you've been listening to Sandra Robson and Reverend Ben Cooper. Thank you so much for your time today. Stay safe, and we are at the door. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Elim Church Swanley's latest podcast. You can find us on Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Alexa, Mixcloud, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.